It's a first date.
It's 8:30, New York time. Time to wake up America and stump the experts. Each week at this time, Lucky Strike asks you to join its information please party. Here's how it goes. You finish the questions and our experts try to answer them. For every question we use, Lucky Strike pays out $10 plus a copy of the new Information Please quiz book. If your question stumps us, you get $25 more plus a 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your questions to Information Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. If our editorial staff edits your questions a bit, don't fret over it. In case of similarity, we'll have to be sole judge of who shall be paid, and all questions become the property of Information Please. And now light up a lucky strike as I present our master of ceremonies, book reviewer of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman. Mr. Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, our party is completely spontaneous and unprepared. The questions have not been seen or heard before by any of the experts. Tonight, we offer you Franklin P. Adams, originator of the Cunning Tower and famed as FPA, and John Curran, the sports expert and author of The American Sporting Scene. As our special guests, we're happy to have with us once more our old friend Deems Taylor, music critic and editor of A Treasury of Gilbert and Sullivan, and Edna Ferber, whose new book, Saratoga Trunk, is a bestseller, and who, of course, is known to all of us as dramatist and novelist. Now we'll start with a question from June L. Davis of Wollaston, Massachusetts. Get 2 out of 3, if you can, on this one, which is based on old familiar songs. Name the lady mentioned in each of these quotations from familiar songs. And the first is, light she was and like a fairy. Who is that? Mr. Adams.
My darling Clementine.
Yes, you don't have to be as intimate as all that, Mr. Adams. just call her by name. My darling Clementine. Very good. There's a place in my memory, my life that you fill. There's a place in my memory, my life that you fill. Any idea who the you is? I could give it away to you by doing it this way.
Sing it.
There is a place in my memory, my life, that you fill. Mr. Curran.
I don't know that Swede dialect.
Mr. Taylor.
Well, I don't know. Isolde was Irish, but I don't think that's it.
No. Say, did you realize that was Irish that I was giving you?
Yeah, kind
Thank
of,
you, Mr.
Yes.
Taylor. Mother McCree. There's a place in my memory, my life, that you fill. No other can take it. No one ever will.
Don't like it.
Of course, if I sang it, it would be easier. And how about, you're the flower of my heart. Who is that? You're the flower of my heart. Miss Ferber.
Sweet Adeline.
That's right, Miss Ferber. Very good. You couldn't give us any of the chorus, could you, Miss Ferber? Or you could be helped out by your coadjutor.
I could if I could be accompanied by a barbershop chord.
Oh, that's all you can be accompanied by. Well, let's have a... Joe, let's have a chord.
Hear him start it.
Too high.
All right, how about starting In All My Dreams?
The second half.
Oh, the second half will do. Are you ready, Miss
Ferber? Not starting with Sweet Adeline.
You want Sweet Adeline? All right, I'll do anything you say, Miss Ferber.
Oh, we don't have to go all the way through.
No, heavens no.
Anyhow,
go ahead, Joe, let's have that again.
Yes,
go ahead.
It's too high, I think.
Too high for you? All right.
In all my dreams.
That's very good.
Your fair face beams. You're the idol of my sweet
I must say that our experts have never been quite as reluctant as this to sing, and never more properly so. Now we go on with the next question from F.S. Bartlett of St. David's, Pennsylvania. Get 2 out of 3 if you can. What is the name by which these routes are commonly known? And the first route, this is R-O-U-T-E. First route is from Rome to Capua by way of Bovillae, Terracina, and Formiae. Mr. Curran.
I think it's the Via Appia.
Yes, the Via Appia or Appian Way. Why is it so called, Mr. Curran?
Well, that's the Roman name, named after...
Appius Claudius.
Appius Claudius.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, how about the route from the Missouri to the Columbia by way of the Blue, Platte, Snake, and Boise Rivers? What route is that called? It has a name, too. From the Missouri to the Columbia. Mr. Curran?
Well, that was the Lewis Clark route.
Yes, it was. What's it called?
Well, as far as... It's still a Lewis Clark route to me.
Oregon Trail.
The Oregon Trail. And that, would that be right, Miss Ferber? The Oregon Trail. Used by settlers following Lewis and Clark, who first blazed it. How about from Lashio to Kunming? Lashio to Kunming, Mr. Taylor.
I'll bite. The Burma Road.
That's very good. The Burma Road, yes. How'd you know that, Mr. Taylor?
I didn't, I guess.
That's that Chinese accent just threw it in your lap. Yeah. Here's one from Maurice Jester of San Francisco. Get 3 out of 4. For whom do these characters work? They all come from works of fiction. Whom do they work for? The first is Uriah Heep. Name his employer. Miss Verba.
I think it was the Cherubel Brothers.
No, you're in the wrong novel. Better get out quick, Miss Verba. You're in the wrong novel.
Oh.
Got the right author, all right, Mr. Chair.
He worked for father-in-law. He worked for the heroine's father.
That's right. Miss Ferber had it then.
Agnes Wicklow.
Wickfield.
Wickfield.
Wickfield. I should like to call that right. You have it now, Miss Ferber, but your impetuousness with respect to the Cheerable Brothers, it gives us one bad mark on
awful.
Uriah Heep. Yes, he worked for Mr. Wickfield, the father of Agnes and David Copperfield. For whom did the Admirable Crichton work? The Admirable Crichton. We have all heard of the Admirable Crichton. He's appeared in play form and movie form. Any idea, Mr. Taylor?
D.M. Barry is the only one.
He worked for Charles Frohman for a while.
That's true. But his employer, technically, was the Earl of Loam, or Lord Loam, L-O-A-M, in Barry's play, The Admirable Crichton. I do think that's a very tough one. How about Windy McLean? Windy McLean, whom did Windy McLean work for?
Windy McLean?
Windy McLean? No, I get no response.
I'm going to step
Ferber,
out.
I have any response for you?
Well, I'm sorry. The whole thing came up, but I think he worked for Captain Andy.
He did indeed. And Miss Ferber is, of course, too modest to say that both characters are to be found in her famous story, Showboat. For a moment, I didn't think you knew, Miss Ferber. There was a blank look on your face.
Well, for a moment, I didn't.
Well, don't let that happen again. Whom did Leporello work for? Leporello. Mr. Taylor.
Count, what's his name? Almaviva. No.
You're in the wrong...
I know.
You're
I'm
wrong
in the wrong
too.
Composer.
You got your composers mixed up.
Yeah.
Now, he worked for Mr. Kieran. Was that a look of intelligence
on
your face?
Not a bit, no.
He worked for Don Juan in Mozart's Don Giovanni. Remember that now, Mr. Taylor?
I'm afraid I do.
Correct. Well, that gives us 3 wrong out of 4, which is...
About
very
five
bad
out
going.
Of four.
And sends $25 to Mr. Juster and a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Courtesy of Lucky Strike. Now, here's one from Carl W. Simpson of Cleveland, Ohio. I think it's rather an amusing question. We're going to get 2 out of 3 if we can. You're going to hear some street cries delivered by a professional street crier, whom we've just taken up from the street for the time being. And I want you to give me the... I want you to tell me where you'd hear them, where you would hear them, and what their literary or musical source is. Oh. Is that clear? Let's have the first.
No.
Here come the honey man. Yes, ma'am, I'm the honey man. I got honey in the comb. Yes, ma'am, I got honey in the comb. And is my honey cheap? Yes, ma'am, my honey's very cheap.
Now, you can give him your orders later, but in the meantime, Mr. Adams?
I'd hear it in New Orleans.
Well, you'd be about 1,000 miles
I've never been
out.
There.
No, what makes you think you'd hear it in New Orleans, Mr. Adams?
Southern dialect.
Southern accent.
Oh, that's the only accent our man's got. You're going to be all confused now.
You mean that's the way he talks?
What did you think, Miss Ferber?
Oh, I never heard it. I don't know.
Never heard it before.
But I thought it was distinctly Southern. Are they all going to be like that?
No, not all. it was Southern, and you'd hear that chant in Charleston, South Carolina, and you originally heard it, if you weren't in Charleston, in Porgy and Bess. Remember that, Mr. Taylor? I'm sure you've seen it.
No.
Do you remember, Miss Ferber?
I do not.
I think you're all telling an untruth, just trying to back yourselves up. Well, that's from Porgy and Bess, the famous cry of the honeyman. Now, how about the second one?
Isn't famous if we don't know it.
It's famous now.
Blackberries fresh and fine. I got blackberries, lady, fresh from the vine. I got blackberries, lady, 3 glass for dime.
Porgy and Bess.
You're kidding. Miss Ferber.
New Orleans.
New Orleans, yes. You know that for what reason, Miss Ferber?
I know it because I've read it in a book on New Orleans.
You don't want to go any further than that, do you, Miss Ferber? Have you read that book recently?
I did.
Mr. Adams?
Saratoga Trunk.
Saratoga Trunk is right.
Well, I was going to say a book of reference on New Orleans done by the PWA.
Is that where you first came across it?
Uh-huh.
And you used it in
the
novel?
With permission of the mayor of New Orleans.
I'm sure that's true, and very skillfully used. Yes, it's a famous blackberry peddler's song, traditional melody. Now the third and last of these. Listen closely.
Masha da bi ha ve vu di za bi ha vandr. Masha da bi ha ve vu di za bi ha
vandr. Mr. Taylor, do you recognize that southern accent?
Yes, it's from Louise by Gustave Charpentier, and you'd hear it in Paris.
You'd hear it in Paris, yes. Mm-hmm. And what was the street cry trying to sell there?
Old clothes.
Old clothes, yes. Old clothes. Very good. Mr. Kieran, you were, I'm sure, going to say
that's
the same
right.
thing.
He's a frippier.
He's a what, eh?
Frippier.
He's
frippier?
A marchand d'habit.
Stick to English, boy.
Hey, Christ, what's that?
How about this one? Flora J. Turner of Pasadena. Now, suppose a shelf of myths and legends had been retitled by a whodunit addict, by a detective story fan. What story would you expect to find under each of these titles? They get three out of four. Now, suppose the title was The Corpse Was a Perfect Fit. That would apply to what famous myth or legend of antiquity? The Corpse Was a Perfect Fit. Mr. Taylor.
Procrustes, I should think.
Procrustes, yes. The story of the bed of Procrustes. What did Procrustes do?
Well, he had a habit of making his guests fit his bed. If they were too long, he chopped them off, and if they were too short, he stretched them out.
Yes, that's very well put. Anything to make them comfortable.
Yes.
And how about the bow and arrow murders? What myth would that apply to? Mr. Adams.
Cock Robin.
Cock Robin. The bow and arrow. Yes, sure. That's perfectly all right. I wasn't... It's rather an old Greek myth that I was thinking of. Mr. Kieran?
Well, Cupid, for one.
You brought him back alive.
You mean the slaying of the woman who wept for all her children. For her children. I mean the slaying of the children by Apollo.
Niobe.
That wasn't the one I was thinking
of. Well, that's a great case of
mass murder. Mr. Kieran. I don't say no. But there's another more familiar to us. Mr. Taylor?
Would it be Actium?
No,
Diana.
No, I was thinking of the story of Ulysses and the suitors of Penelope in the Odyssey. Didn't Ulysses come back and kill all the suitors by his ability to draw the very heavy bow that no one else could bend? But any of those answers, I'm certain, are quite correct. Now, how about the adventure of the borrowed car? The adventure of the borrowed car. Mr. Kira.
Phaeton.
Who was Phaeton?
He was one of the sons of Jupiter rather, the Apollo, the sun god.
Yes.
And he borrowed the chariot for a ride, and he went for a ride.
Yes. Interestingly enough, the part of the earth over which he traveled has become very famous recently. Libya, yes. He's supposed to have scorched the earth and made it a desert. How about the case of the bathtub murder? The case of the bathtub murder. What would that recall from ancient legend? Mr. Kieran?
You're
thinking of Mara?
That's right.
Mm. No, that's Mara and Hades.
Oh, I know. Archimedes. Well, that's not legend.
No, that's not legend. That's true. Case of the bathtub murder. How about the story of Agamemnon, who was murdered by his wife Clytemnestra? She waited until he was in the bathtub and then threw a net over him, did she not, and stabbed him to death with the help of boyfriend Aegisthus.
Coward.
We mustn't let Winchell hear about that. Here's one from Urban Wagner of Washington, D.C. I think we ought to get all on this. Identify the person described by these three thumbnail sketch characteristics. Industrialist, administrator, pince-nez. Whom does that recall? This is one man.
One man, Mr. Adams.
That's right. Mr. Taylor?
Mr. Knudsen.
Yes, very good. Mr. William Knudsen. Industrialist, administrator, and he wears a very dignified pince-nez. Very good. Baton, pills, Van Dyke beard would mean what to you? A baton, Mr. Kieran.
Sir Thomas Beecham.
Sir Thomas Beecham, very good. Is there any part of that that would puzzle anyone? Why pills?
Beecham's pills.
Beecham's pills.
Yes, I believe that is
he's
part of...
He's a descendant of Beecham's pills.
Yes, he is a descendant.
He's not the pills themselves.
No. Certainly not. Flyer, star performer, big ears. Mr. Kieran?
Dumbo.
Yes.
Perfect.
Mr. Kieran, you never were a flyer, were you? That's what stumped me for a moment.
Thank you.
Well, we're all right on that one. Our lucky strike so far has paid out $25 and one set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And now Mr. Cross has a word to say about an elderly gentleman, a friend of his, whose most characteristic utterance is tut.
Well, this gentleman, who relishes a good smoke as much as anyone, piles up a tremendous number of tut-tuts over some of the things he hears said about cigarettes. For he knows, as do most smokers who stop to think of it, that what really counts in a cigarette is tobacco. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, better tobacco makes a better cigarette. That says everything, and it's the reason Lucky Strike consistently pays the price to get the milder, better-tasting leaf. For example, at auctions at Pamplico, South Carolina this season, the American Tobacco Company paid 28% more per pound for the tobacco it bought for its cigarettes and other tobacco products. Yes, 28% above the average market price published by the United States Department of Agriculture. And the best tobacco we buy goes into Lucky's. That's why Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Mr. Fadiman, isn't that something every smoker can prove to himself by a purchase of Lucky's?
It's surely the best way to find out, Mr. Cross, and I timed you at just 59 seconds. And now we'll go on with a question from Francis H. Hammond of Elizabethtown, New York. Again, get 2 out of 3. This is a rather difficult question to explain. We're going to play 2 songs from each of 3 different operettas. Now, 1 song is easily associated with the show. That is, it was the hit song. Now, the other song is less familiar. You have to name the show and the 2 songs that go with each show. And just to make it hard, we're going to play the 6 songs, one after the other. Is that absolutely unclear, Mr. Adams?
I don't understand it at all.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Taylor, have you got any idea of what I'm talking about?
Yes, it sounds perfectly beastly. You're going to play 2 songs from each show. That's 6 songs in all, in pairs.
Yes.
And we've got to tell you the name of the show and the name of the 2 songs, and you're going to play all 6 at once, which makes
no,
it
no, not all
impossible.
6 at once. No, one after the other. One after the other, and I'm going to mix them up.
Well, that's all. What?
Oh, you're not. They're not going to be 2 and 2 and 2?
Oh, no, Miss Furber.
Well, that's frightful.
Let's go.
That's.
Now, what is this, a strike? You're going to listen to it and like it. Let's have these songs, one after the other, and listen to them carefully. Mr. Hammond of Elizabethtown, who sent this question in, is listening. I can think I can assure him in advance that he's going to get an encyclopedia very soon.
Well,
Mr. Taylor.
Well, I'll give you 1 of the shows.
Good for you.
One of them is Mamselle Modiste.
That is quite right.
Can
you give me the 2 songs?
Kiss Me Again and I Want What I Want When I Want It.
Very good, Mr. Taylor. That's not easy.
Another show is, of course, Showboat.
Good.
By Edna Ferber.
Good enough.
And Jerome Kern.
Mr. Hammerstein.
Junior.
Second.
And, of course, one of the songs is Old Man River.
That's right.
Let the archaeologist fill in the gap later.
Him is the one I knew.
And then there's The Man I Love from... it was in several shows, but I think Girl Crazy is the one it's identified with.
I think Strike Up the Band.
Strike Up the Band.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, but it was in Girl Crazy and in OK and in Strike Up the Band, so it's out of bounds, I
But
say.
How would the other one, however, would be...
The other one I have no truck with.
Well, you've done very well, Mr. Taylor, on a very tough question. Miss Ferber, can you fill in any of the gaps? Mr. Adams?
No, I knew all those, but none of the others.
Mm-hmm. Was I? I knew those.
Well,
don't you know the song from Showboat?
Well, I knew that.
No, but there's another song from Showboat in there.
Now, the other song from Showboat, Miss Ferber, was You Are Love. Old Man River, of course, we all remembered, but You Are Love was the less familiar one. Now, from Strike Up the Band, The Man I Love, as Mr. Taylor reminded us, and the less familiar one is the song called Soon. Get that, Mr.
Never
Taylor? Well, it's a very tough question and a very ingenious one. $25 to Mr. Hammond.
Give him his encyclopedia.
Okay. And
tell him not to come back.
You don't want to see him again,
no.
Taylor? All right.
Mr. Hammond, don't come back. Here's one from Gay Shannon of Allenhurst, New Jersey. I think this may interest Miss Ferber particularly because she is known as a connoisseur of good food and is very generous in giving it away to people who manage to drop by at her house.
How about Sunday?
Busy Sunday.
Well, it comes from Guy Shannon of Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's the name of the dish made up of these ingredients? Now, get two out of three. I'll name the ingredients. You tell me what happens when you mix them together. That is what is the name of the dish, not what happens. Flounder, clams, oysters, shrimp, crab, tomatoes, onions, carrots, garlic. What happens?
Might be gumbo.
That's by Disney. Then.
it might. No, I don't think it would be gumbo. You'd have okra if it were gumbo, wouldn't you, Miss?
No.
No.
Not New Orleans. I don't know why.
Well, this is New York here. We're in New York.
Well, it's called gumbo.
This is called gumbo?
Yes. Of course, there is, I suppose, a bouillabaisse which is made.
Stop there. Bouillabaisse is right.
Yes, but bouillabaisse involves the use of a fish called rascasse that grows only in the Mediterranean around Marseille.
That's very smart of you, but as Miss Ferber reminds us, if we're using the New Orleans version of bouillabaisse, you couldn't get this fish called rascasse. Unless you peddled it all the way from the Mediterranean.
You could mail it.
You could mail it, I suppose. Bouillabaisse would be right, as Miss Ferber says. Now, how about this one? Garlic. I seem to stick to garlic tonight. Garlic, ham, rice, then something called charices, charices. Tomatoes, onions, shrimp. Put those together, and what do you get?
Bedlam.
Miss Ferber.
You get jambalaya.
Jambalaya, what is
and
jambalaya?
And there should be garlic in everything but ice cream, so don't object to garlic.
You'll hear from ice cream in the morning. I'm sure ice cream will be very sore. Jambalaya, yes, that's quite right. What's the word jambalaya come from, Miss Ferber? It's an odd word.
Do you I don't know.
I don't.
Came from New Orleans in that old book.
How about this one? Ground pork, chopped herbs, flour, and Indian meal. I suppose I should add garlic, Miss Ferber. Mr. Kieran?
Well, I'll give it a theme.
Go on, it's S.C.
I'd call it sausage.
No, scrapple.
Well, that's the same thing.
Oh, be careful.
Philadelphia scrapple.
It's all sausage to me, no matter how thin you slice it.
Why, Mr. Kieran, you're demeaning the name of the third greatest city in the United States, Philadelphia scrapple.
And you can eat it with maple sugar, and you can't do that with sausage. I mean, you can maple syrup.
And, of course, you have to have a little of Miss Ferber's garlic in it to make it acceptable to her.
But it's
how about this one from Charlotte Evans of Piedmont, California? Get two out of three. Quote the famous lines of poetry that fit into each of the rhythmic patterns that are going to be beaten out by the drum. Now, this is strict metric scansion. You have to just listen to this drum and tell me what famous lines of poetry would fit into this beat. This is a tough question, too. Get two out of three if you can. Let's have the first. Mr. Adams had his hand up at once.
Any hexameter.
Well, name, give me a line of poetry.
This is the forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlock.
Very good, yes. That's from Evangeline, and an excellent one. That's not so easy to get. I noticed that Mr. Adams was the only hand up. Let's have the second. That is a tough one. In fact, I'm not even sure it was correctly played.
There may be a good deal like that.
The answer is boots, 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 marching up and down again. Kipling's
say
boots.
Tramp, 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 the boys are marching.
Not quite the same. The one wrong. That's a rather hard one to get. Now the next and last. Any ideas? It's Listen, My Children, and You Shall Hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere.
That's not fair.
Don't like that either.
No, that wasn't beaten. That wasn't beaten correctly.
It wasn't beaten correctly?
It should be Listen, My Children, and You Shall Hear. It's a dotted triplet.
He hasn't got that on his drum.
It should be a dotted triplet.
It's a simplified version.
I claim a foul.
And I think it is a tough one, as a matter of fact. How about this one? I think we send $25 to Miss Evans on that. And a drum. Here's one from Douglas L. Baxter of this city. Can you give me the titles of four books, plays, or movies that name definite parts of London or Paris? They don't include the words London or Paris themselves, but sections or streets in either of those cities, Mr. Taylor.
You mean like Limehouse Nights?
Very good. Limehouse Nights. Who wrote it?
Burke.
Thomas Burke.
Good enough. That gives us one. London or Paris? Oh, I think of a... Mr. Taylor?
The mystery of the murders in the Rue Morgue.
Very good. Poe's murders in the Rue Morgue. Mr. Adams?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Very good. Yes, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. You ought to get one more. Miss Ferber?
Is there a Magnolia Street?
There certainly is. In Mr. Golding's book. I don't know whether there's a real one. I'd like
to take
it.
That's what I meant.
There probably is. Up in a villa down at the city, Limehouse Nights, Waterloo Bridge would be another one. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Cross gives us an insider's slant on that Fifth Estate advertising.
Well, Mr. Fadiman, that's a broad statement. But at least I can tell you how the makers of Lucky's feel about Lucky Strike advertising. We've always believed that in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. The tobacco, not the advertising. In fact, if we were to stop advertising altogether, if Lucky's came from the factory to your cigarette counter completely unheralded and unsung, the price you pay for a package of Lucky's would not be reduced one iota. You see, the total cost of all our advertising activities is such a small fraction of a cent a package that, even if it were entirely eliminated, the saving per package could not be passed on to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you buy a package of Lucky's, it is not advertising that you pay for, but fine tobacco. In the tobacco markets below the Mason-Dixon line, the makers of Lucky's consistently pay what it costs to get the milder, better-tasting leaf for Lucky's. For instance, this season at Fair Bluff, North Carolina, we paid 24% more than the average market price published by the United States Department of Agriculture, 36% more at Timmonsville, South Carolina, and so on all over the South. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Why not make your next package Lucky's and see for yourself?
Thank you, Mr. Cross. This evening, Lucky Strike has cheerfully paid out $75.03 of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Thank you on behalf of Lucky Strike, Miss Ferber and Mr. Taylor for coming to the aid of our party tonight. Next week, Mr. Levant, Mr. Kieran, and Mr. Adams will be on deck. And as our special guest, we welcome Dr. George N. Schuster, writer, speaker, and president of Hunter College in the city of New York.